little foreign to us. It seems very... Anybody remember the book of Hebrews? What really stands out to you? Anything?
Faith, yeah.
Okay, faith, okay. The Hall of Faith, chapter 11, right? Okay, right, by faith. What else stands out to you in Hebrews? Why don't you take like just 1 or 2 minutes and talk amongst yourself and just say whatever you remember from it, or like your read of it, your take of it. Okay, go ahead and do that real quick. As you guys begin to look through that, we will come back to this topic. We're going to come back to this topic because what we're going to do today, we have a very special opportunity to learn a lesson. We were praying about ministering to the whole body today. Well, our 4th through 6th grade class is going to minister to us this morning, and they're going to have a very important lesson for us to learn. Yeah? Memes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very cool.
Do you want me to erase the rest of this board?
No, I just wanted to write their names.
Okay. You got Lydia and Jude. I'm sorry, we have a room that's falling apart here, so. Is this enough room for you guys?
Yeah.
I'm just gonna like, it's like we get the junkiest classroom. That's okay. Let's give them a hand, okay? Let's give them a warm hand. Don't be nervous. These guys get more scared in front of people than you do, okay? So, you'll do fine.
Emily, Mia, Lydia, and Jude are enjoying time at an amusement park with their families. This conversation takes place while they are in line for one of their favorite rides.
This is the best day ever.
I've always wanted to come here.
When my parents told me we were coming to Amazing Wonderland, I couldn't believe it was really going to happen.
It took me 6 months to save up for my money for my ticket. I hope it's worth it, because so far it seems like we were just spending too much time waiting for this line of this ride.
We just got here, dude. We have 12 whole hours spending time to ride rides and have fun. You'll see, it's sure to be the best day ever.
Move up, Jude. Pay attention. The line's moving.
No, 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 no!
What?
It's Rebecca Cunningham from our school in this line right ahead of us.
Not big, bad Rebecca C. Really? I can't believe it. Here, let's leave. I can't stand her.
What are you talking about? What's so bad? Who is she?
She's our worst enemy. Just thinking about her makes me angry. You tell her, Jude.
Yeah, Emily and I keep having trouble with her at school.
She's a real bully. She trips me in the hall and pokes me in the back with her pencil all the time. She lied to the teacher about me, and I got in big trouble.
And one time she jammed gum in my locker and in my lock. It was disgusting.
And now that she's here at Amazing Wonderland, I won't be able to have any fun. How can we get her back?
We need revenge. Oh. Wait a minute, Emily. Revenge? Is that what the Bible says to do?
Yeah, guys. That's not the way to treat anyone. Jesus taught that we should love our enemies, not hate them.
Well, Jesus must not have known Rebecca C.
Oh, Emily, yes, Jesus knew about Rebecca and people who are much worse. But he still said that hate is as bad as murder.
Well, I'm guilty of murder then. I just can't help what I'm feeling. She really makes me mad.
Me too. No one can love that girl.
But we're supposed to love our enemies.
Wait a minute. I know the Ten Commandments. And they say, do not murder. I'm not going to murder her. I just don't like her.
Well, the Ten Commandments do say you should not murder. But Jesus said that even if you are angry with someone, it's like murder.
But that's impossible. How can anyone go through life without getting angry at someone else? I thought I was doing a good job getting along with most people. I just can't get along with every single person.
But you see, that's the problem. We often think that we're good enough because all the good things we do.
Well, yeah. Aren't we pretty good? Doesn't God want us to be good? Isn't that the way to heaven?
No, not really. As soon as we think we're good enough to get to heaven, we become proud of ourselves, proud of what we've accomplished.
But what's so wrong with that?
God doesn't want us to be proud in any way.
God doesn't love us more because we can obey sometimes.
That's right. We should never think that anything we do can make us right with God. If that were true, Jesus wouldn't have to die on the cross.
Whoa. I never thought about it that way. You're right. If I can earn my own way to heaven, why would Jesus need to die for us?
And we really aren't that good when we get right down to it. We need to understand that.
We need Jesus. He's the Savior. It's only because he was willing to die for our sins that anyone can be made right with God. He's the only one who could do that because he's the only one who lived a perfect life.
So, getting back to Rebecca C., what do we do? How do I forgive her? How do I love her? There's no possible way.
That's a good question. We can only do that through Jesus and his strength. When we begin to understand what Jesus was willing to do, die a death he didn't deserve so we could be forgiven, our hearts begin to change.
And as our hearts change through God's word, we change. And Jesus helps us to love those we thought it would be impossible to love.
So I will learn to love everyone perfectly, even Rebecca C?
You won't ever love everyone perfectly because you aren't perfect. None of us is. But if we trust in Jesus, stay in his word, and accept the grace he offers, we'll get better at it. And we'll find it easier to love, but it will be by his strength, not our own.
Well, I guess, Rebecca C won't ruin my day for me.
We're gonna have a good time.
Yay, we're gonna have a great time!
All right. Yeah. Take a bow, take a bow. Thank you. Thank God for the fans, huh? Thank God for the fan family. That's good. Set us straight. Thank you, kids. That was good. All right. Woo. Can you guys do another one, like, next month?
Yeah.
All right. What do you guys think about that, huh? That was pretty great. We got some budding actors, huh, and actresses.
Abby's really good.
Yeah, all of them were really good.
She's like,
I was like, well, thank God for the fans to set us straight. praise God. I think it's exciting. I asked them if they want, they could even do that in our sanctuary during our worship service, too. I don't know if they'll have the courage to do that, so we can pray for them. Yeah. Amen, huh? For like our class and our teachers to do that. That's our segue into the book of Hebrews, by the way. Just kidding. All right. Okay. So what did you guys get out of that skit? I'm just kidding. Right? So hopefully you guys all got something out of that skit. Yeah, what was something that stood out to you in that skit, though, besides their acting?
No matter how bad somebody's treated you or done something wrong, you have to forgive them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's forgiveness in that. Yeah. What else?
And we have to pray God to give us that strength.
Yeah.
The power to forgive that person.
Right, right. Yeah, there is a human forgiveness. There is a non-Christian type of forgiveness. Right? There is a self-empowering ability at times to forgive. But when it really, really matters, we as believers, we need that power from God, right? So I think that skit talked about, and I don't think the kids understand that, that they're talking about a Holy Spirit, a God-empowered transformation, right? That's what we talk about a lot. So we are not focusing on moralism here. Otherwise, a church can easily become fade into moralistic behavior. Right? It is the issues of the heart. It is the issues of a spirit transformation from within. And as the kids said, well, I have a perfect love. And the answer was, no. I'll never be able to have a perfect love for people. Right? On this side of heaven.
I think the skit has one part that is very good, that it got in touch that we are not perfect. We cannot be perfect.
Yes.
And that is the reason why Christ died on the cross.
Right, right.
And so we can't try to be perfect.
Yes, that's right. And I think, you know, we look at Christ's death and his grace for saving us. But what about for the process of making us more holy and more Christ-like? Are we on our own after that? No, it's still the grace of God. It's still the grace of God on the cross, his death and resurrection, that is that grace that carries on throughout life, right? Yeah, and we won't be perfect even then. Yeah, that's good. Cool message, huh? Tied into Hebrews for sure. Okay, so what are some of the things that you guys talked about in your study of Hebrews? Do you remember? What do you guys remember? Let's start from the back. As Tim looks like he's fallen asleep or he's deep in thought. Timmy, what did you guys talk about? You can blame Noel. Don't worry. It's like, Noel. When you guys read the book of Hebrews, anything you remember? Don't remember? That's okay. How about this group right here? Don't remember? Okay, you remember the race? Run the race, okay. What else do you remember? Pete?
Priesthood.
Okay, priesthood. Okay, there's some priesthood language in there. Anything else? How about you guys up here?
A lot about Jesus.
Okay, a lot about Jesus. Okay, how about you guys? Right, that's a very Sunday school good answer, but it's true. Yeah. Anything you guys remember about Hebrews? It's okay if you don't. This is not like a shaming class, right? Even though I feel like that, I'm sorry. Like, you guys remember anything? So as you are going to go through Hebrews, you will find that it is a little bit foreign in the sense that imagine if you were a brand new believer or a non-Christian just starting to read the Bible. The book of Hebrews is just going to feel so foreign, okay? There is a lot of context that we need to talk about. It is very, very Jewish feeling. Very, very Old Testament referencing, okay? And yet, the theme of Hebrews is that Jesus is greater than everything else. And what it's going to go through is look at a series of different things that Jesus is greater than, okay? You guys with me? All right. And so in the spirit of what I did with Titus, I asked just two people last week and said, I'm thinking about doing what I did for Titus, using Bible Project to tee it up, to intro it for a couple weeks, and then we'll go on to some deeper dives. And these two people said it was cool. They said, I guess it was cool. So I guess we're going to do that, all right? Okay, so good. Stops there, right? So Bible Project moves so fast that what I did with Titus was just by recommendation of someone, just to stop and go with that. What did we just hear?
The author.
Okay, who is the author?
They don't know.
Good, we don't know. That's the key. So what we saw was we don't know who the author is. This has been going on since the early church. All the scholars, everybody has tried to figure this out. There's not a definitive, no matter what book you read or scholar that you go to, they might point to different ones, not even listed on here, as like, we might think it's this person, but there's almost just no definitive on who the author is. But we do know that the author was close to the apostles, as we will see in the text, and is focusing here on Jesus. Now, I wanted to share with you, although the author of Hebrews is unknown, okay, as we read the internal evidence of the book, there are a few things that we can know about the author, okay? We're just going to look at a few of these things. Number one, the author was a dynamic preacher. So the thing that we need to know about Hebrews is most of the things that we read in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, we call those what? We call those, starts with an E, we learned it last week about Titus, we call it an epistle. An epistle is a
letter.
Very good. And most of the time, that's what we see in the New Testament written from Paul. However, based on, even though Bible Project calls it the letter to the Hebrews, and it very well may have been read out loud, because that's what they would do. If I got the letter from, whatever this is, if I got this letter from Paul, and I'm Titus, or I'm the church in Ephesus, we get the church together and we're just going to read this letter out in one sitting. Usually that's what happens, okay? Someone asked me a question before, though. These biblical authors, did they know that they were writing the Holy Scripture of God? What do you guys think? Do you think they knew that they were writing the Holy Scripture of God? Because it was later canonized, right? So it was later canonized in terms of put to a standard and compiled as a word of God. But the answer to that is no, okay? Most of them didn't, you know, they didn't know that they were writing the Scripture of God. Was the Holy Spirit imparting wisdom so it was co-authored by God and a human author? Yes. But they weren't saying, oh, this is going to be part of, this is going to be read by believers 2,000 years later, right? Where we are today. Paul wasn't writing knowing that. Okay, does that make sense to you? Okay. But Hebrews is very different when we look at it, the elements of it, and very widely recognized that Hebrews really is more like a sermon. It's like a sermon that was written out, right? So anybody who's translated for me, I have developed a habit of writing out most of my sermon for the benefit of a translator, right? And if somebody wanted to one day, the sermons don't come out exactly like what it's on the paper, because when I preach it, I'm not reading it most of the time, but for the most part, all the content is there. And if somebody wanted to compile that, that's what like Hebrews would look like. It's somebody's like manuscript sermon, okay? You guys with me, right? There's a lot of things in Hebrews where it is very similar. There's a lot of affinities that it has to Greek sermons of its day, okay? So it's not written like a standard letter in that sense, okay? Does that help you a little bit? Okay, so you got to know that, that this guy is a dynamic preacher, okay? So this guy can preach. Second, what we know about this author, is it too dark in here? Do you guys want to turn on the lights? I just don't want you guys to fall asleep in here. Second, what we see is that there is a high knowledge of the Old Testament and an understanding of the Old Testament. That's why I said to you, if you are reading Hebrews for the first time, or even as you begin your devotions now in the book of Hebrews, you're right off the bat gonna pick up a lot of Old Testament references. There's a lot of kind of Jewish religion kind of mentioned in there. What do we call Jewish religion? What is the word for Jewish religion? It's also a J word. J-U, uh-huh. Judaism, okay, Judaism. And so you're gonna see a lot of Judaism kind of mentioned in there. That's the religion based off of the Old Testament Torah leading up into Jesus's day, okay? That's Judaism, okay? So you're gonna see a lot of like Old Testament references in there. And as a good preacher, he is expositing. He's already interpreting the Old Testament stuff, okay? All right, so that's why we see those two things. Third thing that we see is that this guy, whoever is writing Hebrews, is highly educated. This is a guy, because most scholars, when they look at the Greek language within Hebrews, it is the best of all New Testament authors. The best, the strongest usage of Greek, his rhetoric, his use of vocabulary, his use of sentence structure, his use of grammatical, I don't know. Obviously, I'm not highly educated. His use of grammar, grammatical structure, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But his Greek is superb, okay? All right, spoken from a lowly educated guy. His Greek ranks at the top. So that's what scholars say, not me. You know, I'm just getting this, right? So he's a great preacher, very dynamic, super knowledgeable what's happening with Old Testament, how that links into the New Covenant. Big part of the theme of Hebrews, okay? We've talked about Old and New Covenant, so I'm not going to go there. And he's highly educated. Number four, we see that this dude is a very committed minister. Could he be a pastor? Maybe. Not entirely clear, But this guy is a guy who is clearly a minister of Jesus Christ, deeply concerned about the spiritual state of the group of believers that he's writing it to, okay? Whether or not he's a pastor, we don't know for sure. It doesn't indicate that. But he's very familiar with the situation and the spiritual condition of the people that he's writing to. You guys with me on that? Okay, it doesn't always have to be a pastor who's very familiar with other people's spiritual condition, right? You guys with me on that? Yeah. Okay. So last night, before our fellowship, we just created a group of student leaders for our junior high and high school fellowship. All right, so we got about, I don't know, how many of those, you know, guys, like eight of those guys. And our counselors, like Serena and Preston and Kai and Mimi and even Daniel, who works a lot with them, they have a good read on the spiritual condition of these young people, right? They're not pastors in that sense, but they're ministers who are very familiar with the spiritual condition of the people that they're working with, okay? So we see that thing. Pretty cool, right? So even though we don't know who the author is, we know, we can surmise quite a bit about the author, even just by reading the book of Hebrews. You guys with me? Yeah. If you guys want copies of this, you know, I'll flip it out to you. This was, anyways, okay. All right. So what's fascinating to me is that whenever we read through the New Testament, okay, the biblical authors have such a variety of backgrounds. So the first discussion I want you to have right now are, what are some of the different backgrounds that you might remember about people who have contributed as authors to the New Testament? Right? So talk about that in your group for just a few minutes. And if you don't remember, it's okay, right? This is, you know, just be like, yeah, I don't really remember, but now I know about Hebrews. Like, there are a lot of different authors, and tell me about them, right? Factoids. Go ahead. All right, let's go from the back. What do you guys think? Give me one author. You don't even have to have the name, but what's a background of another author?
Doctor.
Thank you, doctor. Right? Doctors got to know that. So, are doctors fairly educated, Tim? I said that. Okay. All right, so you got some highly educated guys, you know. How about this group right here? Fishermen. I mean, I like to fish. Highly educated, lowly educated? For the most part, lower educated.
That's, but then they didn't pass.
Absolutely. So I said, for the most part, right?
Yeah.
There are absolutely cases, you look at the writing ability of some of our fishermen in Scripture, that's not like you didn't graduate from fourth grade, you know? Right? So they're well advanced beyond that. Good. What other backgrounds do we see? You guys remember anything else?
Tax collector.
Okay. What about you guys? Anything else? Okay, you got kings in the Old Testament, good. Shepherds, right? So what we see is there's a variety of backgrounds of all the people that contributed. There's also a variety of backgrounds to the people within the church. And if we started to ask that question, what are the different backgrounds? And, you know, because we mentioned professions just right there, but just a background of the different people. When you look at the Gospels and when you look at the types of people being saved, when we spent like 1 or 2 weeks here talking about tax collectors being saved and all of the tax collectors' friends coming together, right? Remember who that was? Who called everybody together to celebrate when they were saved. Man, we're talking about a whole level of society. We're talking about prostitutes. We're talking about other type of, elite, you know, guys who are living in illegal activities, all types of that, right? When we start talking about the backgrounds of different people, you really start to see the variety and the I don't know, like very mixed makeup of the church in those days, right? You have business people all the way down to, you know, your prostitutes, right? You have all types of people in between. And so my question to you is, obviously this particular author was put in a position, and you're going to see that when you read Hebrews, very, very much put in a position to write this letter to reach this group of people, right? But what are some things that you may be specific to the way you are or the experiences you have gone through that might put you in a unique position to reach a certain type of people, right? It doesn't mean that we're only limited to reach that type of people, right? My background is very mixed, you know, in terms of my occupation. But before I had an occupation, when I was a high school student, college student, I have experiences, I have a certain background. Some things that are very pleasant, some things not so pleasant, that can help me to reach certain types of people. And have you ever thought about it for yourself? What are some things in your background that makes you very specific or unique that might put you in a position to minister to other people, right? This is probably not something that we're going to spend time discussing, but I want it to be something that we think about, that you have to realize, even as we ended last week as we were talking about Titus, that God has not only made you, created you a certain way that is different from everyone else. Like, there is no one else like you. Abby and I were sitting on a car listening to a preacher. I think it was this last week. I had a sermon playing on the car, and she heard it. And this particular pastor, I admire him because he could just make things so simple and clear. And even Abby got the message. And this pastor had said, because I said, "Do you know what this guy's talking about?" She says, "Oh yeah, Daddy." And I said, "What?" She even shared it at home to Mommy. She said, "Don't ever try to be like anyone else. Because if you try to live your life trying to be someone else, then your life is being wasted. Because the world doesn't need you anymore. Because what God created you to be and what the world needs is you, the way that God created you. And with all the experiences that God has led you through, good and bad, there is a unique personhood of who you are that God wants to use. So if you spend all your time trying to be like someone else, you're not going to be able to be used in that way, right? Even Abby got that. And so I just wanted you to remember, like, look at this guy who authored the Hebrews sermon, letter, was in a very unique position that no one else was in. And there are people at this church that no one else is able to reach except for you. There are people at this church who you are uniquely put together to minister to. And there are people in this world that you are uniquely put together by God to reach. There are people in this church that I won't be, me or Pastor James won't even be able to talk to, but that you will be able to. There are people that you're interacting with right now that no other Christian is going to be able to get into that circle except you. Right? And so you got to be who you are, live out who you are, where you are put for that purpose, right? Just remember that. Even like this author of Hebrews is put in a very unique position to be able to write this in this particular way. Okay? You guys with me? Amen? Okay. What does that mean? What do we know about the audience now, even though we saw that... Okay, so... What do we know about this group of people?
Israelites. Jewish.
We know that they have a what? Jewish background. Okay? So these are very possibly what? Jewish. Jews? or add another word to that. Jewish believers, okay? Very likely this is a group of Jewish believers, because what we do know, even though no one's been able to truly identify the audience, we know that the way that he's writing, so you're going to feel unfamiliar with Hebrews because you're not Jewish. You're not like steeped in Jewish knowledge and Old Testament scripture. Think about how often we spend time in Old Testament scripture in our children worship in Sunday schools, right? Besides covering the stories, how familiar are we with all the religious practices and the meaning of everything practiced in Judaism, right? We're not. And that's for you even if you grew up in Sunday school at church. If you haven't, you're not going to have all the nuances of this. We're learning some of these in Sunday school, aren't we? But most of the time, like for the people that this audience, that this sermon is to reach, he assumes that they have a very deep knowledge in this. So these are very likely Jewish believers, Jewish Christians, okay? And so, let me see. It was likely sent to a Jewish Christian community, and scholars might point that possibly it's in Rome. But again, we don't know for certain, okay? And that's why do you think the title is Hebrews? Any guess? Okay. That's why the book is titled Hebrews. Right? That's in reference to the Jewish background, right? Okay. I don't know. What else I got here? Okay. Let's see what we do know about this community, though, from Scripture. Let's look at chapter 10, verse 32 through 34. And there's a pen here that Nene was using. Okay, so we're going to look at chapter 10, 32 through 34, and then you're going to tell me what you see and what you might learn about these people from there. Okay, so open up your Bibles and turn to chapter 10, 33 through 34. If you want to read around there, you'll see some more. But what we're doing is we are reading in the letter or the sermon to see what we might learn about the audience. Some things that we might know about the audience as we get into our own reading. Okay, so talk about it in your group and see what things you might find out in there. Are you guys getting some? What do you guys think? What is happening with this? What do we know about this group of believers from 32 through 34? Someone shout something out.
Persecuted.
We know that they're what?
Persecuted.
Okay, we know that they're being persecuted.
Were these Jews that accepted Christ?
Yes, right? So these are Jewish believers. They're persecuted. They are suffering, right? They're suffering for their faith. What else? What else do you see out of this? Do you see anything else? You can read into some other verses too. What do you see about these guys?
Support each other.
Ooh, you see that they support each other. What do you see that?
Talked about how like they stuck by them even in prison.
Okay. Yes, they're very supportive.
Have patience.
Okay. Where do you see that?
36.
Good.
Do not throw away your confidence, it will be worth your reward.
Okay. What else do you guys see in there?
They're joyful in their pain and suffering.
Oh, yes. How do you see that?
It says in verse 34, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property.
Right. Okay. Okay, so you see that they are being squeezed. You see that they're suffering. You see that they're in pain because of their faith. But they also have joy in that, even as they're like losing property. Joy in losing your home. Joy in difficult circumstances because of your faith. Joy in when you might your life is out of whack, right? Your life is not going as smooth as it should, especially as you're trying to serve the Lord, as you're trying to live for God, and all these difficulties are now you're like almost feeling like you're drowning in it, yet you could see that these guys are, there's joy in that, right? Good. Thank you. Whoever said that, I think that was Tim, right? Okay, anything else? Okay, very good. See, we can learn a lot about the people, right? As we read it. Let's look at chapter 6, verse 10. Okay, chapter 6, verse 10, read it, and then read it and talk about it. All right. What do you guys think? This wasn't that hard to find, right? What do you guys see about chapter 6, verse 10? What do we know about them here? What do you guys see? Anybody? Just shout it out. How about up here?
They're serving.
Okay, they are serving. Serving what? Serving food? What? They're serving what? What are they doing? They are what?
Serving people.
Okay, serving others, specifically?
Saints.
Okay, they're serving saints. What does serving saints mean? Okay, so what do you think that means? What's a clear way of saying, I know we say serving others, saints. What is that? What are we saying here?
The believers?
Yeah.
The group of believers.
Okay, yes. They are...
Loving each other.
Ministering, okay? We don't have this word in Chinese as much, but this concept of ministering and loving, because it comes out of a place of love, other believers, right? So this is a church or a group of people, or a group of people that, yeah, they're being squeezed in their faith. They're being attacked. This is under, probably under Nero around that time, and then yet we see that they are actively ministering. Again, see, there's no such word as ministering in Chinese, so we have a lack there in Chinese of getting a more richness when I begin to replace the word just serving with a ministering. That means we're doing things that's affecting other people's souls. We might be caring and serving them by making soup or serving food or whatever we're doing in our church, right, for other believers. Our goal is that at the end of the day, you're ministering to their souls. You're helping them spiritually, right? Because we are the whole person. Spiritual is our physical, is our mental, our emotional. That is our whole person. That's our whole person spiritually. So when we help somebody who is, let's say Josie just gave birth, and I don't know if, people brought food to you, right? But if people brought food to you because you guys were just a little bit wiped out, you're staying up all night, and your health might not be strong enough, but as people are ministering to your physical body, my hope is that brothers and sisters are benefiting and blessing your soul, right? You're getting encouraged. You're like, oh man, people love me, and this is a good group of, these are my brothers and sisters in Christ, right? My soul is being affected. That is the goal. When we're leading music, when we're serving food, when we're cleaning up, everything that we're trying to do is eventually to just really help and bless others. You guys with me on that? That's the concept of ministering, and we see that this was a group of believers that they even under the busyness and hardship and the persecution and all of this stuff that they're like sort of swimming in, they have this heart to just minister to others. Even if life is getting hard on them, they're suffering in their faith, they're doing this, and this writer, this preacher is recognizing that. You guys with me on that? Okay. But let's also look at chapter 5. So we're going backwards, backwards, backwards. Look at chapter 5, verse 11, all the way to 6, verse 3. Talk about that and try to do that in like 1 minute or something. All right, what do you guys see here? What do you guys see here? Talk about it real quick. Make some quick observations. Go ahead and cast judgment on them. That's fine. Okay, cast your judgment. 5:11, because you know that's what we do as people. Okay, what do we see? We see that they are, Bobby, cast judgment.
Immature.
They are immature. Immature how? Just immature? Immature, what?
They're being judgmental.
Okay, they're being judgmental. But we are too, right? Okay, so they're immature in their faith. They're immature spiritually, okay? They need more, okay? That's why this preacher knows his people, right? This preacher knows what's going on with his people. That's why, hey, it's always great. Like for me, do I listen to other preachers too? I do. I try not to listen to too many, but even before I was a pastor, do I listen to different preachers? Absolutely, all the time. But I know, I've always trusted, I don't know why I knew this, but I knew that when Elder Chu was preaching, it's because he knows us, right? And I've had friends that have said to me, oh, hey, you know, they don't go to our church. They're like, oh, I listen to your sermons online. I'm like, they're not for you, bro. They're not for you. I say that almost like meanly. I'm like, it's not even for you. Yeah, he goes, but it's good. I'm like, dude, it's not even for you though. So, if you're blessed, you're blessed. I don't know why I'm like that. I'm like, this is for our people. Because I've prayed over our people. I know our people. I hope I know most of our people. But yeah, I kind of know where our people are at. And this sermon's for our people. So my friends are like, so should I not listen to it? Yeah, stop listening to it, you know? But when we hear from other pastors, I think it's fine. But even if your pastors are not as good as other preachers, which we're not, we know we are trying to know our people, and we're preaching from that place, right? So there's a little element of that this preacher knows that, man, they are. See, if you just look at chapter 10 and chapter 6 and you're reading the book of Hebrews backwards, you're going to be like, dude, these guys are suffering, but suffering with joy as their property is being taken away. You might think, dude, these guys are solid, and they're serving and ministering to others. They have this going on in their life. This appears to be a very mature group of believers, but this preacher, this person knows, dude, you guys are immature. You need some solid food. You're still kind of hovering in the elementary teaching. You got to go deeper, right? And so by all appearances, like, man, they look like lock solid. Like, if you read 10 and 6, you're like, this is a good group of believers. But you start to see, wait a second, they're actually not that mature. Okay, and this writer's or this preacher's heart is to help them to go deeper. I want you to go deeper in your faith. I want you to grow in your maturity with more solid teaching from God's word. You guys with me on that? Yeah? Okay. So what we see is these are Jewish believers who suffered for their faith, who are loving and ministering generously to others in Jesus' name, but at the same time, they were also immature in their faith, and they needed to grow more. Guess what, guys? I think this now applies to us, okay? Without the fact that we know enough Jewish stuff, which we're going to talk about in the coming weeks, this is really why the book of Hebrews, I'm glad, is part of the canon and part of our scripture today. Because when we talk about a group of people who might be going through hardships in your life today, tied to your faith? Yeah. Are we loving and ministering generously to others around us? I see that going on in our church. I see that in this classroom. But at the same time, are we those who are immature in our faith and we need to grow more? Absolutely, myself included. Right? Now do we see my whole goal a lot of times in kind of introducing and teeing up a book for us is that as you read it, your ears are going to be like open. Your eyes are going to be open as you're doing your devotions. Now you're like, okay, like this was to speak to people like me. You know, let me get into gear. God, tune me in. What do you want to say to me? Because if this was to help a group like very much like me, then this is supposed to help me, right? Plus, it's God's word anyways, right? Should help me, right? But this helps God kind of clue you in that you're not so different from them. You guys with me? Yeah? Okay. So I think we're going to end there. God bless you on your journey in starting the book of Hebrews. I wish I could give you Even camp on chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Like, you could just stay in there. And just, it's going to tee up the whole book and what it's trying to do about who Jesus is for us. Okay? Yeah? All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. God, we thank you that a book that is so dated, when we just begin to peel back some of the layers and we get great resources like Bible Project and all these scholars and students of the Bible that have come before us for hundreds of years, or we get to be the benefit of that. So that the book of Hebrews, even though it may seem hard to read at times, now it doesn't seem like so far off from us anymore, God. And I pray that you always would use your word to enrich us. And as the preacher was saying to this wonderful group of believers, Father, he was encouraging them and saw their need, that they needed to get deeper. And to get deeper, they needed to get more solid food from your word, oh Lord. So that puts your word in a certain reference point for us. That in our journey of growing deeper, Lord, we need more solid food in our life. And I pray that you help us to be yearning that, craving that. Not for our head knowledge, but Father, for deeper and greater life transformation and maturity. Oh Lord, that is what I know that the preacher is hoping for the Hebrews and or the audience of Hebrews, and now that is, I know, your hope for all of us, myself included, Lord, that we would go deeper with you, deeper in love with you, knowing who you are in our life, the center point, the supreme over all things. Lord, may you take that place, and may we remove all the idols and other things that have come in the place of that. Father, we lift today into your hands. We pray for Pastor James as he preaches and gives us your word today. May you anoint him, heart, mind, spirit, body, his tongue, his mouth, that the words coming out from him and blessed our translator would nourish your people this morning, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.